Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. I'm glad to have everybody here on Radio for Your Mind. I want you to know that this is something new today. We've been trying out a new technology. It's called Ustream, and we are literally streaming live right now across the internet on what I call Troy Dooley's Morning Coffee Reflections. And it's because I'm sitting here and people are watching me drink coffee out of my Starbucks cup. But I am truly excited. We're taking this to a new level. 2010 is going to be an awesome year, and some of the stuff that Jim and I are doing now is literally we're looking at every technology that we can come across where we can get the message out. We can provide video and audio and live streaming and the iTunes, everything, to get into the hands of individuals the nuggets that they need to be able to grow personally and to grow a business. And as most of you have known that have been hanging out over at Radio for Your Mind, we are literally in a series right now that we'll finish up in the next 2 days, I think, but it's called The Law of Connection. It's being able to build the connection with people that's needed really in order to do anything in life. I mean, this truly is the key. Without connection, you just fall flat. I mean, that's the key. And today we're talking about how you can serve and lead people at the same time. And so many times, especially within the network marketing arena, you hear about serve. But then again, you'll hear about leadership, and then you get confused because you hear this word called duplication. Duplicate what I tell you to do. Just do it and do it and do it. My mentor Art Williams used to say that. The dilemma here is that if you're supposed to be duplicating a leader, then eventually you're going to hit their plateau. You're going to go out there and you're going to take over some of your independence, and you're going to go build a team. So one of the things that we wanted to get into is how can you serve? As a leader, how can you serve your people, but yet at the same time, how can you lead your people to become better, to grow, to really take on a mind of their own? Leadership is wonderful, and we're gonna do a whole study on that. But the key here is getting people to follow. And one of my heroes is Norman Schwarzkopf, and one of the things that he always taught, and I wrote it down, was you've got to love your people more than your position. And I think that's the key here. I see different compensation plans. I see different business models. I see different leadership styles. And a lot of the times as you're listening to people that have attained a leadership position, what you hear them say is me, 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 or I. I built this team of 40,000. I built this team of 100,000. I did all this. The reality is that's somebody that probably has a little bit of low self-esteem. I'm not saying that we all don't go through this, because every one of us at one time or another said, I've done something. But when you do this as a continual habit and you never give credit to your team, there's an issue. Last week, I was able to shoot a small video clip over off Fox Business where the chairman and CEO of Nu Skin was on the New York Stock Exchange floor. Their stock has soared 142% just this year. And on national business television in front of millions of people on the speaker at the New York Stock Exchange, he said, listen, our stock would not have soared 142% if it wasn't for the 800,000 distributors out there in the field building their independent business. Now, guys, that's a CEO that understands he's in that position because of this large organization of leaders that they've developed. And that's the key. You've got to love your people more than your position. He fully understood that it wasn't about him. He fully understood that the reason Nu Skin was where it was at had to do with the field, had to do with those leaders. Well, guess what? Those leaders also have to understand the reason that they're where they're at is because of those people that are following them, those people that they're serving. And I do this all the time. I learned it from Catalyst, and I try my best to go around and not talk about people that follow me. I could care less about that. Now, don't get me wrong, that is not to be mixed up or misplaced with traffic on the internet or people coming to a website. I'm talking about individuals. See, it's not about the money with me. It's not about what people know. It's not about all the people that I might consult with and then nobody ever knows my name. Nothing about that. It's about, can you do one little thing of good? Can you serve one person? Can you take a nugget and pass it on? Over the weekend, holiday weekend, Dalton calls me and says, Dad, I've got a comment on one of our blogs and it's discouraging me. Will you go read it? And I said, sure, let's take a look at it. And over the summer, he had helped a young lady locally here. They'd raised funds. Her duplex was burnt down. They did a great interview and an article on her and what he was trying to do to help. Well, sadly enough, this young lady thinks that he's supposed to be there all the time now, and that everything that is raised through his organization is to go to her, and they had posted some pretty slanderous comments. And it touched him in a negative way, not in a positive way. And I explained to him, son, part of the law of connection is you're going to help people and they're going to abuse that. Sadly, the great thing is it's a small part. But it doesn't mean you don't stop loving people. It doesn't mean that you don't stop serving people. And that's the key here. When you're building your organization, you have to do this. You have to be able to go out there. And you've heard me talk about General Schwarzkopf and what he did in Vietnam, and the fact that in Vietnam, he had the 1st Battalion, which is the worst battalion ever. I mean, if you studied Vietnam at all, and I was young. I was a young kid, but my uncle was over there. I had good friends of my dad's that were over there. I wanted to be there as a kid because I thought it was right. And this isn't to get into ideologies today. But the thing that I want to show is that Norman Schwarzkopf went into that battalion, and it was a racially sliced battalion. And if you guys remember the 60s and 70s, it wasn't peaches and cream like today. If somebody would have told you back then there'd be a black president in the United States, you'd have laughed them out of their office. But yet, that's what he walked into. They had more fights, more rapes, more pillaging, more everything. They had the worst battle scores out there. I mean, these guys, you know, if you go watch Apocalypse Now, I mean, this is the battalion smoking dope, listening to music, not caring about a thing in the world. And here comes this general to take over. And one of the first events that happen, he flies out to the battlefield, and there's a group of people just standing around. He's saying, what the heck is happening? And what had happened was a man had been injured by a mine and was laying basically in the minefield. And he's sitting there looking at this, and he sees the man's location. He sees the helicopters sitting there hovering but can't land because it's in the middle of a minefield. And without giving thought to his own personal welfare, just as a leader, he goes cautiously, of course, into the minefield, picks up this man and brings him back. Now, here's the big part about this. It's not storming Norman's bulldog, you know, go for it. It's the fact that he was white and the injured soldier was black. And a white general put his rank aside, walked into the minefield and picked up one of the troops that he served, a black soldier, and brought him out. By the end of Norman's tenure running the 1st Battalion, they had gone from last to first in everything. And it's because the troops, white and black, realized we're all green and we're fighting for one thing, and that's to make our leader proud and to protect the United States of America, let alone the South Vietnamese. Folks, that's what it takes right there. That's the key that you have to look at. If you're going to be serving people, if you're going to be sitting here and saying, okay, I want to do something, then you've got to realize that servanthood is not about your position. It's not about your skill. Servanthood literally is about your attitude. See, leading people from position is easy. You do a few things, you look real good, a little bit of brown nosing in some cases if it's corporate America. The next thing you know, you're in the position of leadership. The sad thing is the position of leadership is not the same thing as serving others. Serving is when you put that position aside. It's when you get the attitude of, I'm going to do everything that I can do. I want to help that individual. I want to help my team. I was on the phone yesterday with a gentleman that I hope our relationship continues to grow. He had reached out to me from one of the blogs. He's with a great company. I know the CEO of the company. I was just talking to him over the weekend. It is a great company, but he has not had the success that he's looking for. I called up another guy that's in that company. I said, look, we were just chatting over here on Facebook. You guys, you said you have a great online system. Is it open to anybody or just your team? He said, no, Troy, you know me. I'll let anybody use it. I said, can you give me a link? Because I've got a guy that's in your company that loves the product. He loves the leadership. He loves everything. His son's in the business with him, and yet they're not succeeding at the level they want to succeed. They've got one of their legs that's just got massive volume in it. the other leg only has a little bit, and he's not balanced, and he's not making anything. I said, can you give him access? He goes, absolutely. We got him over the link so that he can go help. Folks, that is servanthood. I'm not in this company. I'm never going to be in that company. I just love the guys that are there. And here we're able to help serve somebody. At the same time I'm talking with this gentleman, he tells me about who his upline is in a company that he kind of looked at because he's into that multiple stream of income stuff. And you've heard Jim and I talk about this. You know, we're all for multiple streams of income, just not with network marketing companies because it gets all convoluted and skewed and all that stuff. Well, we're sitting there chatting, and I said, wait a minute. You're in this company. Do you know so-and-so? And he goes, yeah. I said, you know what? I personally know that he's in another company also. And the other company that he's in, based on what you're sharing with me, I think would be a good fit for you. Let me show you what company that is, and then I want you to personally tell him that I told you about it, that it's not cross-sponsor or anything. I brought it up because I think your personality would work. Folks, I didn't try to cross-recruit him into my company. I didn't try to get him into one of my buddies' companies. I tried to keep him where he was at. No money. I don't make anything off this. It's pure servanthood. Now, here's the deal. Jim taught me this. When you give enough in one direction, it will come back from a different direction. Most of the time, it happens when you least expect it. That's how you lead and serve at the same time. But let's write down a couple of things here, because I think this is important. And if I feel, if this comes across today like I'm a little disoriented, it is because we're trying this new technology and we're streaming this live on the internet via the cam so that we can see how that works. But listen to what I have to share here, because I think this is important. And get out a pen, because, guys, we're finishing up the law of connection, and this is so important. And when you're serving others, there's some things that you need to know. Number one, put others ahead of your own agenda. Folks, if you want to lead and serve at the same time, then that's what you have to do. That's the first mark of servanthood. It's the ability to put others above yourself. It's to put others above what your needs or your desires might be right at that moment. I guess basically it means intentionally going out of your way to help other people. See, if you're an advocate for this profession, if you love your company, then you're going to help everybody you can. You're not going to care if they're in your downline. You're going to understand that once you hit a certain level, you're going to make an override on the whole company anyway. If you're in a brick-and-mortar business and you're out there building something and it's the holidays and the stress levels get high, and you get somebody that comes in and tries on a pair of shoes and for whatever reason they scuff them, you don't get snarky. You don't sit there and tell them you're buying the shoes. You just say, man, let me help you out. If that's what you want, let me see if I can find a pair that will fit. You go out of your way to serve others. Because when you help others and they realize that you're putting them first and they realize that you're out there to help them succeed, I guarantee you're building trust, you're building loyalty, and that will come back to you 100-fold. Second thing that I want you to write down is servant leaders possess the confidence to serve. There are some people, guys, that just can't serve others. Whether it's they're embarrassed, whether they don't feel like they're worthy of it, it doesn't matter. And I challenge you, and you hear Jim and I do this all the time. The Bible has great stories in it. We're not trying to get into spiritualities and theologies. If you just look at some of the stories of serving in there, the story of the Great Samaritan, where He picked up a man that had been beaten alongside the road, a sworn enemy. It would go back to kind of like the Civil War days, where a white man might have picked up a black man, or a black man might have picked up a white man right in the middle of the battle. And he took him to the end, and he had him nurture him, and he said, I'll bring money back for whatever it is. Nothing, I mean, that's serving. That's having the confidence to serve. And that's something that you have to... You really have to work at, because you've got to have it comes with security. You've got to understand that you might help people just like Dalton did and then have it thrown back into your face. You might have slanderous stuff written because they want to try to raise more money for themselves and not go through charity. And I found it humorous as I was reading the comment, and he was saying, Dad, it's not funny. I said, Son, listen to this. When you read this comment, they're very clear that the few items that were left over that couldn't be sold, that instead of you spending money to have them shipped across the United States to Seattle, that you donated them to charity. You didn't keep them. You donated them to charity. I said, no matter who reads this, anybody with common sense is going to realize, well, you didn't do it for the money because you didn't keep anything. You just donated the stuff. Folks, there's always, when you're out front, there's always going to be people wanting to take pot shots. You're always going to find those people that are looking for a handout. They don't need a hand up. They're just looking for a handout. You're going to serve those people, and it's not going to do you any good. They're going to jump to another company. They're going to leave your business. They're going to do something. And in doing that, they'll make some comments. Who cares? If your thought is right, if your heart is right, if you have the confidence, if you surround yourself, as we've studied through the law of connection, with solid people that think and act just like you do, it won't be a problem. Number three, you want to initiate service to others. Okay, now this is important. You don't want to wait till people ask you if they need help. Matter of fact, you'll find out in this economy right now, because I live, and most of you know, we live on an island in the panhandle of Florida. We live in a very prominent place. Faith Hill, Tim McGraw, one of the greatest Elvis impersonators from Vegas, they live here. Presidents of companies out of Atlanta live down here. I mean, all kinds of people. Now, I'm not friends with all these people. I'm just telling you the kind of people here. I've got retired network marketers. I've got professional football players. Okay, some of them are football coaches. I mean, you've got every type of person living in a gated community on this island. But guess what happened? None of them are immune from the real estate crash. I've got people selling second homes down here, and their second home is 12,000 square feet. Now, they're not used to having to ask for help from people. And although we might sit here and say, well, nobody needs a 12,000 square foot house, we're not here to debate that. What we're here to say is, you know what? They're going through the same thing that other people are going through, just at a different level. So when you take the time at Christmas to reach out to people, and you take them some cookies, you take them some candy, if you hear they're going through a medical crisis or something, you reach out first, you'd be amazed, because most people won't ask for help. It's a pride issue, I'll admit that. It's especially with men. Men are brought up to believe that we don't need a handout, we don't need people, we'll take care of ourselves, all that, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, when you initiate the service, when you initiate serving people, all of a sudden, things change. Because great leaders call their team on the phone and say, I see a great cause. See, one of the things that you'll see pop up on our websites this week, at least on a few of them, and probably on all of them, it's going to be a Toys for Tots donation, because that's one thing that the Marines have done since the 1940s, is raise money to give toys to underprivileged children in the United States. And folks, I know we got hungry children worldwide, and we got kids that go through stuff, but I'm a firm believer that if you can take care of those at home, eventually that love will spread to others. And we've got kids that wouldn't have a Christmas if it wasn't for the Marines donating toys. That's what you want to do. You want to reach out. And you don't want to do it, doggone it, just at Christmas time. Make it an annual thing. Serving is a 24/7 deal. If I had a problem that I was going through, it wouldn't matter what time of the day I was going through it. There's three people that I can call, and I will get them live and on the telephone. Jim Gilhouse, Mark Layton, or Harry Wilkes. It can be any day or night. I know that in the bottom of my heart. And it's reciprocal. They know that. That cell phone is right by my bed 24/7. It stays on because of the kids. And they know if they called late at night, it was emergency, because they never do that. I'd be calling. I'd be on the phone. What can I do? What's going on? What's the deal? That's the name of the game. So you have to initiate service to others. Number four, you can't be position conscious. You can't be sitting there all the time looking around and wanting people to serve you, or wanting people to look up to you because of your position. I had the opportunity when I was in my 30s to meet Sam Walton. And it was an interesting situation, because I was serving him and his wife. My father-in-law owned a catering company. We had been called in to do a special event, very small and intimate event for him and his wife, as they came and gave some awards to some people, and Sam came back into the kitchen just to hang out. Didn't matter that he was the richest man in the world. Didn't matter that he owned Walmart. Didn't matter that he sees presidents and all this. He comes back. I'm making a Waldorf salad. That's with mayonnaise and apples and raisins and walnuts and all this. And he said, hey, can you tell me how you make that? Because it sure looks good. I gave him a little bowl, and he tastes it. And he said, I don't want to know how you make it. Can you write that recipe down? I want Helen to make this for me. This is fantastic. Now, it wasn't my recipe. It was my father-in-law's recipe. But here's a man who I'm serving him. I mean, I literally, especially at that time, the kind of money I made, he was making that every second, and I'm making it every year. And yet he took time to chat with me. And we went on and had a really cool conversation about the kind of food he likes and the restaurant, little cafe that he ate at in Bentonville. And those, listen, he didn't care about his position. And here's why. Servant leaders don't care about their position. I've never had a business card that said CEO. I never signed my name on a document that says founder. I think the closest I've ever come to anything that sounds prestigious is Chief Solution Officer. And I stole that from Tim Sanders at Yahoo because I just want to find solutions for people. It's not about the position. It's about serving, folks. If you know in your heart that it's always about the other person, then it just doesn't matter what the level is. John Maxwell wrote a book, we may go through that here, called The 360 Leader. And it's about leading at every level, not just at the top. Number five, you got to serve out of love. It's all about love, folks. And maybe you're not used to saying that word. Maybe saying I love you is weird. With John Hanses, he'll tell you he loves you, and he'll plant a big old kiss on you. You know, Jimmy will give you a big old bear hug and tell you he loves you. This is what it's about. When you serve others, when you put others first, all of a sudden, you start to realize something. You realize that servanthood, this, every time I think of this, servanthood is not about manipulation. It's not about self-promotion. It's not about looking at an employee and saying, hey, open that check. I want you to see how much I gave you at Christmas. I'll tell you what it is. It's doing stuff anonymously. It's serving because you want to. It's listening to what people are sharing with you and the needs that they have and taking care of that. Serving and leading others is about the small things. It's about taking care of the person's individual needs at every level of the game. Now, tomorrow we're gonna recap the law of connection. We're going to cover the highlights, but right now, I flip back around here, and I've got so many screens open today. But, Jim, how you doing this morning, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic, man. How about you?
I cannot complain whatsoever. It has been a great evening, a great night. I look at life, and I look at my friends, and I love you, buddy, and I'm glad you're part of my life.
Well, I'm back at you, my friend, back at you. There's a lot of great stuff going on. I heard what you were saying about some of the conversations that you had yesterday. You know, it's neat to be in a position to be able to help people with no strings attached.
Oh, in a big way. When you can do that, I think that's when people see it truly is at the heart. They truly see that you care, not and most uplines care. I think you and I have both gone through this. We know that most uplines truly care about their people. But at the same time, you and I have both seen where uplines sometimes do things out of a self-gratification or self-manipulation, and it can skew sometimes the people and what they think about MLM or what they think about network marketing. And in this case, he was able to see that people really do care, that are making no money off of him, and it truly made him feel good about our industry and about our profession.
Oh man, what are we doing today?
You know what? We've had a great day, and I don't want to pull. I just wanted to say hi to you. I know you've been cranking and you've been flying and you've been doing awesome stuff, but you know, looking at where everything's at, looking at where the law of connection has brought us, it makes me remember back of when we first got started. You know, when you come down to Destin and we had a great lunch, and even that day, I'll never forget this. We're both sitting there. I'm listening to what you have to share. I'm getting excited, and out of the blue, a young man comes by the table, and he slides a piece of paper in front of both of us.
Well, he wasn't very young.
Well, no, he was. Well, that's true. He was a little old, but he had no problem doing that. And folks, the man was deaf. He basically couldn't hear, and he slides this piece of paper, and it's a piece of paper on just a little bitty, I don't know, probably 2 inches, maybe by 3 inches, and it had hand motions on there. And he was just asking for a donation. And you know, both of us simultaneously, we didn't say, well, let's talk about this or come back later. I mean, we just both reached into our wallet and pulled out money. And we don't know this guy, probably will never see this guy again, and we don't even know if he was really deaf, I'll be quite honest with you. We just knew that inside, this was a way of life for us. It isn't, and I think, Jimmy, this is the thing with people. People look at lifestyle. They don't understand it's got to be a life change. Lifestyle can come and go. It can change in a flash of a second because we don't control life. But when you make a life choice that you say, I'm going to live this way, then it just becomes habit. It doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, in between, in another country, you live by the value and the principle systems that you've instilled in yourself, and that comes back to the law of connection. Because if people start to live by the law of connection, then they will always be putting other people first. And in doing that, the law of diminishing returns will come back. They will end up with probably everything they ever dreamed of and more over time. But even if they don't, they will have changed the face of this earth, at least in their little part of the world.
You know, it comes back to the conversation we were having. I don't even remember when we had it here, but you know, we were talking recently about Tommy Chenault and the thing that he does every year with feeding the homeless. And you know, I've heard people say, well, it's nice to be able, you know, the reason he can do that is because, and they've got it so backwards. Mm-hmm. They've got it so backwards. You know, the reason he has the income that he has is because of the person that he is and the things that he gives selflessly of himself. And far too many people have the skewed opinion of everything that they encounter in life from the standpoint that, you know, is the glass half empty or is the glass half full? You know, is this an opportunity or is this an obstacle? You know, the truth is nothing worth having in life usually comes easy. Almost everything worth having or worth achieving in life comes with sacrifice and with difficulty.
Oh, man.
And it's only go ahead.
Especially with relationships, it's that way, Jim. I fully agree with you.
You know, and the key to creating that success in everything that we do is to, well, I'll use the words of Stephen Covey in his teachings, you know, and that's where he talks, seek first to be or to understand, then to be understood. And as that relates to a relationship, in order to have a friend, you first have to be a friend to others.
Okay.
Because you get in life that which you give away. And that's the only way that you can connect with people, is to give freely of yourself, give freely of your time with no strings attached, because that's how you connect with people. And I know that you've been really going above and beyond on this, the whole law of connection thing, with the show here on Radio for Your Mind. But I want people to understand that if it wasn't, as important as it is, then we wouldn't be spending this kind of time on it.
That's right.
You know, there was a gentleman named Ron Prier years ago when I was watching my mom and dad struggle in their Amway business, who developed a tape series, and I don't even realize how old this is, to be honest with you. I know it's been around for a long, long time. And the position called direct was the first prestigious position that you could achieve in rank with the old Amway comp plan. I don't know if it still is or not. Excuse me. But what Ron used to teach was friendship first, directship second.
Yeah.
And that concept is truly the most powerful thing that you can put in your mind, is because if you place friendship above all else with the people you encounter in your life, you're not looking for a new prospect for your business. You're not looking for a new anything but a potential friend. And if you reach out to people and you touch their heart and want to make friends with them, then it's amazing what can happen and spill over into the rest of your life. I'm sorry, Troy, I went a little...
No, man, you were rolling. I thought we were going to go into another second 30 minutes. I was getting excited. I got my pen and paper out. So, no, you make a great – they're great points, folks, and it's what it's about. It always has to go with relationships first. So stay tuned. Be with us tomorrow. We're going to do the final recap of the Law of Connection. We'll share with you what we're doing next and what series we'll be going into. But remember, live life like it's an epic adventure. Have a fantastic day. And find one person that you can go out there and serve unconditionally today with no strings attached. We'll see you in the morning. Thanks for being here.
God bless, everybody. Have a great day.